Testing, June 2nd, 2025. Mayor and council meeting, testing.
Okay. Good evening. Let's open the meeting.
This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the Borough Hall on the bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 2nd, 2025. This agenda is complete to the extent no informal action will be taken.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Colasardo? Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Forbes?
Here.
Mr. Pujols?
Here.
Mayor Hohenleitner?
Here. Thank you. Now let's all stand for a moment of silent reflection and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve previous meeting minutes for May 19th, 2025.
Dougherty moves.
Forbes seconds.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Abstain.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Forbes?
Yes.
Mr. Pujols?
Yes.
Minutes are approved.
Great, thank you. We're going to do this better this time, and we're going to do this better all the time moving forward. And I came to the EMS meeting last week to apologize for the oversight, but we now have a whole, Mrs. Clark put together a whole year's worth of making sure that we know what we've done in previous years, and which we did do the proclamation, but we should have remembered to invite the EMS. So I am very happy to see you here today, and I hope all is forgiven. And I wanted to tell the public right now, which I was planning on doing anyway, this month on June 22nd is my 50th birthday. And so what I'm asking the public, I'm going to have a fundraiser supporting all of our emergency services. So the EMS, the PBA, and the fire department will split that three ways. And I'm working right now to try to find somebody to match those donations. So hopefully it's a significant impact for all three of the emergency services. But since our previous meeting was EMS week, Mr. Pujols, will you please read the proclamation?
Sure, my pleasure. Mayor, Council, Borough of Atlantic Highlands, acknowledging EMS week, to designate the week of May 18th through 24th, 2025, as Emergency Medical Services Week. Whereas Emergency Medical Services is a vital public service, and whereas the members of Emergency Medical Service teams are ready to provide life-saving care to those in need 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whereas access to quality emergency care dramatically improves survival and recovery rate of those who experience sudden illness or injury, and whereas emergency medical services have grown to fill the gap by providing important out-of-hospital care, including preventative medicine, follow-up care, and access to telemedicine, and whereas the emergency medical service systems consist of first responders, emergency medical technicians, paramedics, emergency medical dispatchers, firefighters, police officers, educators, administrators, pre-hospital nurses, emergency physicians, trained members of the public, and other out-of-hospital medical care providers. And whereas the members of emergency medical service teams, whether career or volunteer, engage in thousands of hours of specialized training and continuing education enhance their life-saving skills. And whereas it is appropriate to recognize the value and the accomplishments of emergency medical service providers by designating the Emergency Medical Service Week. Now, therefore, Mayor Lori Hohenleitner, Mayor of Borough of Atlantic Highlands, in recognition of this event, do hereby proclaim the week of May 18th to 24, 2025 as Emergency Medical Services Week. The theme for EMS Week 2025, We Care for Everyone, which emphasizes the dedication and compassion of emergency medical services professionals who provide life-saving care to individuals in need, regardless of their circumstances, and we encourage the community to observe this week with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. From Mayor Lori Holtenheimer.
Thank you. So now I'm gonna ask our Community Events Committee President Kim Spatola to join me up here, and then we'll bring up the squad.
Good evening, Council and folks. My name is Kim Spatola. I am the president of the Atlantic Highlands Community Events Committee. The Atlantic Highlands Community Events Committee has been a 501c3 volunteer organization since 2008. In that time, the committee has raised funds and donated over $200,000 to organizations in Atlantic Highlands. Some of those organizations are the Firemen, the First Aid, Sandy Hook, the Little League, Emory Hudson, the Arts Council, the Historical Society, the Dundee Holly Foundation, Calvary Church, which is a Sandy Lee program. And we are also responsible for the Peanut Stone Welcome to Atlantic Island sign when you come in to Atlantic Island on First Avenue. We also run the Christmas tree sale in November and December, and we donate $5,000 for the fireworks during Fireman's Fair. Tonight, I'm presenting the first stage of the check for $3,750 to help them purchase a much-needed scare chair. Thank you, First Aid, for your volunteerism and for taking care of Atlantic Highlands like you do.
Town. I'm President Zach Brown, so our chief Billy Mao, a number of our members, some cadets in the house, other members of the line, and officers. We're grateful to the community because without you guys, we wouldn't exist. So thank you to the committee for the very generous donations. The stair chair is badly needed, and especially we have a lot of older homes in town with narrow staircases and a lot of twists and turns, and get people out of those houses safely and effectively is very important. So thank you very much. Yeah. Much appreciated.
Yeah. You say with that, without us, some of you wouldn't exist. Without you, not a lot of us wouldn't exist.
it's symbiotically.
Yeah. But seriously, thank you all. Thank you for coming tonight. I'm glad to see you. And I will work together moving forward.
Thank you. Charlie, Charlie. Car, Ethan, there's a future.
I promise the future.
Everybody, welcome to stay, or you don't have to stay, so this is your chance. It's warm in here. I totally would understand it. Most people would.
Thanks, gang. Thank you.
This is so they don't abandon me in the frog bug. Okay. And now we have another proclamation. And your pen is definitely being picked up on the microphone. LGBTQIA+ Pride Month, Council Member Forbes.
Proclamation, LGBTQ Pride Month.
Whereas our nation was founded on the principle of equal rights for all people, but the fulfillment of this promise has been long in coming for many Americans. Some of the most inspiring moments in our history have arisen from the various civil rights movements that have brought one group after another from the margins to the mainstream of American society. And whereas, in the movement towards equal rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer-identifying people, a historic turning point occurred in New York City on June 28, 1969, with the onset of the Stonewall Riots. During these riots, LGBTQ citizens rose up and resisted police enforcement that arose out of discriminatory criminal laws that have since been declared unconstitutional. In the 5 decades since, civil rights for LGBTQ people have progressed substantially, and LGBTQ pride celebrations have taken place around the country every June to commemorate the beginning of the Stonewall Riots. And whereas, in communities throughout the country, some barriers that limit the potential of LGBTQ Americans have been torn down, but too many continue to encounter discrimination and unfair treatment. There are unique challenges faced by sexual and gender minorities, especially transgender and gender nonconforming individuals of all skin tones, but especially people of color. And whereas all people deserve to live with dignity and respect, free from fear and violence, and protected against discrimination, during lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer pride month, we celebrate the proud legacy LGBTQ individuals have woven into the fabric of our nation, our state, our borough. We honor those who have fought to perfect our union, and we continue our work to build a society where every child grows up knowing that their country supports them, is proud of them, and has a place for them exactly as they are. And now, therefore, be it resolved, the mayor and council hereby dedicate the month of June 2025 as LGBTQ Pride Month and celebrate the great diversity of our residents and direct the Progress flag, Pride flag to be flown in front of the Atlantic Highlands Borough Hall in recognition for the month of June. Lori Hohenleitner, mayor.
Thank you. All right. Last but not least, and I'm sorry, next time you'll be reading all the proclamations, I promise your side.
Quite all right.
Council President Dougherty.
A proclamation declaring the first Friday in June to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day. This proclamation declares the first Friday in June to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day in the borough of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, to honor and remember all victims and survivors of gun violence, and to declare that we as a country must do more to reduce gun violence. Whereas, on average, there are nearly 13,000 gun homicides every year, and Americans are 25 times more likely to be killed with guns than people in other developed countries. And whereas protecting public safety in the communities they serve is a mayor's highest responsibility, and mayors and law enforcement officers know their communities best, are the most familiar with local criminal activity and how to address it, and are best positioned to understand how to keep their citizens safe. And whereas support for the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens goes hand in hand with keeping guns away from dangerous people. And whereas, in January 2013, Hadiya Pendleton, a teenager who marched in President Obama's second inaugural parade, was tragically shot and killed just weeks later and would have now been celebrating her 21st birthday. And whereas, to help honor Hadiya and the 96 Americans whose lives are cut short, and the countless survivors who are injured by shootings every day, a national coalition of organizations has designated June 6, 2025, the first Friday in June, as the fourth National Gun Violence Awareness Day. And whereas the idea was inspired by a group of Hadiya's friends who asked their classmates to commemorate her life by wearing orange. They chose this color because hunters wear orange to announce themselves to other hunters when out in the woods, and orange is a color that symbolizes the value of human life. Whereas anyone can join this campaign by pledging to wear orange on June 6, 2025, the first Friday in June, to help raise awareness about gun violence. And whereas we renew our commitment to reduce gun violence and pledge to do all we can to keep firearms out of the wrong hands and encourage responsible gun ownership to help keep our children safe. Now, therefore, be it resolved, Lori Hohenleitner, Mayor of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, declare June 6, 2025 to be National Gun Violence Awareness Day and encourages all citizens to support their local communities' efforts to prevent the tragic effects of gun violence and to honor and value human lives. Lori Hohenleitner, Mayor.
Thank you. We'll have more at the next meeting in June. June's busy. There's no unfinished business, and there's not a workshop discussion, so now this is time for public comment. This is where we have two public comments for visitors who haven't been here before. This is for this period of public comment is for items that are on the agenda or consent agenda only. If you would like to be recognized, please come, raise your hand. On once recognized, please come forward, state your name and address. Anybody online?
Mayor, we have six attendees. I'm just going to type a message asking for any public comment on agenda items there.
Thank you. Mr. Fisher, please come forward.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 913 Avenue. Just a couple of things. Resolution 88, I assume that this was being passed to enable the purchase through Resolution 90. That's what we had to do. We had to join this cooperative system in order to purchase the pumps through the cooperative system, but in a shared service with Passaic. I got that right?
You got that right.
All right. Now I understand. Thank you. Under the salaries, Resolution, that's 89.
Mm-hmm.
See, the minimum wage number is correct. But looking at the years of service, I guess you'd call it, a legacy payment for year service. There's a very big disparity between the police and all of the other positions in the town. And everybody in the town is important.
I believe it's part of their contract, though.
I understand.
Yes.
I understand. But when you look at, you know, say a patrolman or an officer leaving at 25 years with, you know, with a legacy payment for that year of $4,600, and then you have someone else working in the office or the DBW or the Harper, and they leave after 40 years, and they only get $3,000.
Those are two separate contracts, Mr. Fisher, negotiated by both unions.
Okay. So we have union contracts up this year, right?
We do.
I think we should put a little more effort because we want to keep our people. You know, we talked last meeting about how competitive the police agencies are in trying to keep people where they start.
I would go on record as saying that this is the most pro-union council that's ever sat up here before. So
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, when you look at the numbers, I think we can do better for everything. And then the last question is, under the payment of bills, the fund number 12 trust for $280,000. I assume the trust is money coming in through grants. Is that, and then we're dispersing from that fund?
Right, so I don't know if all the monies are derived from grants, but yes.
$278,000, do we know what that was for?
I could have the CMFO break that down for you if you'd like.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Mrs. Smith?
Yeah, Smith, 2900 Avenue, Grand Towns. I don't know whether I want to congratulate you for getting the talent that you have in this town for the price that you're getting them for.
Oh, the talent, I'm sorry.
Or to say that you ought to give them more money, but the administrator in this town gets roughly $20,000 less for being the administrator for the entire town and everything that's in it and all that other kind of stuff. Gets $20,000 less, minimum of $20,000 less, than the superintendent of the schools that gets, that has 700 kids. So you're getting yourself a great deal, and the same with the borough clerk. The borough clerk works so hard here and does so much, she gets like $100,000 less than the administrator up there. And then even if you put the clerk and the financial officer's salaries together, they still get about $50,000 less than the two people that are running the school. The schools, they have 700 people in them. So if you can get the talent that you have for the price you have, you're doing a good job on that. I don't think it's fair to them, but I think you're doing a good job of getting them anyway.
I'm not going to speak out of turn right now because there's not been any race, but I would tell you that if any of our people sitting up here could respond to you on this matter, that I think they know we're trying very hard to be fair.
Okay. Well, good luck with you being more fair with them then. So, of course, I have to mention the Public Works Department, too, because they're always outstanding. And once again today, the garbage truck is always so clean when it comes through. It really is. And you don't think...
This is on agenda item? Is this on the agenda? This is not on agenda. Are you commenting on agenda item?
No, I'm just saying because it's part of the salary ordinance.
Okay.
That's right. I was bringing that up. Can you tell me what the customary representative is at the Harbor Commission?
Sure, yeah. So at the Harbor Commission, we have two individuals that sit in the office where Luke Leor works. One is Jess McLean, and the other one is a gentleman by the name of Dylan. And Dylan is the customer service representative. Jess assists in that role as well. When individuals who have boats docked in the harbor need to inquire about paying fees, services by the security staff, hours of operation, you know, all of those discretionary and tertiary items, those individuals, Jess and Dylan, handle those inquiries.
Okay, the harbor master can't do that?
The harbor master has other roles as well, but there's customer service individuals available. So if a person during operating hours has those questions via email or wants to call up, those are the individuals it goes to.
Okay. So Jess is the assistant customer service person?
No.
Gentleman you mentioned is the regular customer service?
It's the opposite. It's the opposite.
Oh, so Jess is not the assistant. I thought you said Jess is the...
She assists in those responsibilities if he's busy or not there.
I'm sorry?
She assists with those responsibilities if he's not there, he's at lunch or unavailable.
But she's really the customer service representative.
Yeah, she has several roles, but she also assists Dylan when he needs assistance with customer service.
So who's the customer service representative?
Dylan.
And then who is the assistant customer service?
There is no such role, Mrs. Smith. That's just, he said, what he said was that Jess assists, like she, if, like if I went to the bathroom.
But we're talking about what's on the agenda and on the list of salaries, there's an assistant customer service representative. So that's what I'm asking.
So when an individual calls up, they speak to Dylan, who is the assistant. But he's the first point of contact.
Okay. I just didn't know which was which.
No, that's fair. Fair enough.
Good enough. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anybody online with their hand up?
No hands raised.
Anyone here? No? Okay. Moving on to new business. May I have a motion and a second to accept the consent agenda?
Crowley moves.
A second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Ford?
Yes.
Mr. Pujols?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Thank you. Okay, on to administrator's report and professionals. Welcome back, Mr. Rohmeyer. I hope you had a nice vacation. Anything new?
Thank you. Yes, just wanted to share very quickly. As you may know at this point, I have changed consulting engineering firms. I'm now with Colliers Engineering and Design, located at 101 Crawford's Corner Road in Homedale. I want to thank Mayor and Council for the opportunity to continue to provide services to the borough in this respect. And I will continue to work with our administrator, the folks at CME, to ensure smooth transition and no duplicative work on any of the projects.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have a report?
None tonight.
Okay. Ms. Schaefer?
So, yes, I unmuted myself. A relatively quiet couple of weeks. The only thing of moment is we've been working with some OPRA issues with the police department. And despite our advice, and well, we're right, they are wrong, I think. But anyway, they filed a complaint with the Government Records Council. So we're dealing with that. But I think, you know, the advice to the chief was good advice based on some law that we researched and provided to the department. And the rest is not discussable or nothing of moment. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Okay, that's good to hear. Thanks. Even
once in a while, I want to jump in though and talk to Uriel or Mr. Fisher. I know they missed me.
could you hear them? Could you hear public comment also though? I just want to make sure.
Yes, I can.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect. Great. Thank you. All right. Up to you.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. On May 21st, I attended the Central Jersey Health Insurance Fund monthly meeting. On May 22nd, the borough received approval from the County Engineering Department for the closure of Route 8, First Avenue, from the harbor to East Garfield Avenue and East Mount Avenue to East Highland Avenue from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Monday, May 22nd, for the American Legion Post 141 Memorial Day Parade, which I believe went without a flaw.
Oh, well, there was a little medical at the end.
I'm sorry to hear that. The DEP drought warning update as of May 28th. Though recent rain systems have benefited water supply statewide, stream flow and groundwater remain below long-term averages, and New Jersey remains in drought warning. As warm spring weather has arrived, the public is urged to be mindful in its outdoor water usage for the season and following water conservation practices. On May 29th, I attended the Monmouth Ocean County's Development Council's annual State of the Shore Economic Development Summit in Neptune Township. Please be reminded that early voting for the primary begins tomorrow in the state of New Jersey. The closest location to the borough of Atlantic Highlands is Croydon Hall in Middletown. The next borough council meeting will occur on Monday, June 16th at 7 p.m. here in Borough Hall. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, now we're on to reports of council. And since you've been underrepresented on this side tonight, Mr. Crowley, you can go first.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Mayor. I'll be dividing up our police report. LEED graduation, LEED stands for Law Enforcement Against Drugs, will be on June 3rd for all fifth graders at AHES. Detective Morgan with Patrolman Chenoweth have done a great job with this year's class, as always. Atlantic Highlands Police Department will also be attending Career Day at Atlantic Highlands Elementary School on June 5th. So that's coming up in 3 days, Thursday, okay. I'm only going to report one more thing just for recreation, just because we're within 2 months of it happening. Just put this in your calendars, please. Sunday, August 10th will be our fifth annual music and food truck festival. Down at the marina, we'll have 4 bands, 19 food trucks, a beer garden, and we'll have 10 to 12 vendors, artist vendors, and that runs from noon to 8 p.m. And Mayor, that is all.
Awesome, thanks. You ready?
I am ready. Okay, I have no report for OEM or the veterans. I hope that Councilman Walsh will be able to fill us in on the wonderful experience of the exercise. Okay. In terms of seniors, they'll be meeting next Monday. Chair yoga is very popular, so if you're interested, you gotta get out there on Friday mornings, every other Friday morning. Police report follow-up from Mr. Crowley. The Atlantic Highlands Police Department collaborated with the Motor Vehicle Commission to have a mobile vehicle inspection site on May 30th, and everything went well. On May 31st, the Atlantic Highlands Police Department hosted our annual team to ride. I'm sorry, I gotta put the glasses on. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do it without glasses. On the annual Learn to Ride and Safe Bike Skills with Easy Ride. It was lightly attended, but those who did come learn to ride, improved tremendously, and are now riders, with special thanks to Highlander Bike Shop for assisting in the event. In terms of the Shade Tree Commission, the Community Forestry Management Plan was completed for the next 5 years. In addition to that, we're looking for some volunteers for watering the trees that have been planted around town. Please look onto the website, webpage to sign up for that. Anyone who wants a free tree, also look onto the webpage in order to get a free tree. And the inventory of 2,000 trees has been completed. Thank you very much, Ms. Cruz, for providing that information, because I got it at 6:15 and I hope I got it right. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you. You'll take that message home? Thank you. Council President?
Good evening, Mayor. Thank you very much. I'll be uncharacteristically brief this evening. Finance and Personnel, no report.
Did someone have a bet on
that? No, there's no bet, I promise. Okay. No report on Recreation. The Rec Committee meets on June 19th at 5:30 p.m. Planning Board, no report. Meets this Thursday, June 5th. DPW, I have some information to share. Street Department, reminder, June brush pickups start in Zone 1 on June 9th. That's 1 week from tonight. Please check the borough printed month-to-month calendar for information. Sanitation, please make sure all trash, bulk, and recycling is set out in the correct containers, not susceptible to wind or water runoff. Board of Education, no report. Board of Ed meets on June 11th. That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Forbes.
I will also be brief. Harbor, no report. They meet tomorrow here at 7 p.m. Green Team had their meeting last Tuesday, and we discussed the olfactory garden, which is looking great. We've only lost two plants, which is a pretty good record. And we would like to thank Jim and Roger from DPW for the addition of a sprinkler, which is making everyone's life much easier in terms of keeping those plants alive. And then for environmental, it was a pretty brief meeting. We had a visitor from NOAA come in and talk to us about Phragmites and knotweed and all kinds of other invasive species and how we can best control those, which is very interesting to listen to. And that's about it. So the next meeting for Green Team and Environmental is June 24th at 6 and 7 p.m. here at Borough Hall. Thank you.
Great, thanks. Batting cleanup.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. All right, I have nothing for FD. They had I wasn't at the last meeting. The veto covered it last meeting. Nothing for EMS. They had a special meeting last week, which I missed. No, or they didn't. I wasn't able to.
They're reviewing their bylaws right now, yeah. So they had a special meeting with their attorney.
Okay. Now for OEM, we did have the disaster draw on May 21st. I think it went very well. The mayor was there with us. We have both towns, Highlands and Lion Highlands, representatives, the chief of police from both towns were here. Board of Ed was there. DPW, EMS. It went very well, and the drill went kind of. It was interesting to see how everybody reacts to the different ways things that happen and how to set up the streets and the evacuation system and items like that, which was interesting. So now what's going to happen is they're going to submit the packet that they did to the state. The state's going to approve it and add or recommend some changes to get more organized, and then they'll approve the packet. I'm sure we'll get a copy so we can review it before that, you know? But that's what I have for OEM.
Great. Thank you. Okay. I have a few things I'll wait till the end of the meeting for, but it's now time for public comment. So this is the time that you can please put your hand up and be recognized. I'll ask you to come forward, state your name and address, and you can make your comment. Anybody online, Mr. Romer?
8 attendees, no hands raised at this point.
Okay. Come on up.
My name is Mark Stone. I live at the corner of 6th, 7th and Ocean Boulevard. I do have some handouts.
So you can give them to the clerk and she will disperse them.
Mayor, what's the handout?
Well, I haven't received it yet, but I know what the topic is.
Okay, so do I, but all right.
The news comes before me.
So, Ms. Schaefer, it's a letter to the mayor and council, and there's a map attached with a petition of 29 signatures of local residents with regards to a tract of property between 60 and 62 Ocean Boulevard. And now our resident is going to state her name and address.
Okay, I've seen the letter, right? But the
no,
petition in and of itself.
This is a different letter.
Like, but we'll
Mrs.
Yep, okay.
Hey, it's a different matter.
Okay.
Again, my name is Mark Stone. My actual address is 46th Avenue, Atlantic Highlands, and that's corner of 6th, 7th, and Ocean Boulevard. So first of all, I wanted to acknowledge that I have spoken to the mayor. I previously had a conversation with the previous mayor. And
as a neighbor or as the mayor? Because the previous mayor's address is adjacent to the property we're about to discuss.
Right. Basically, it was just a discussion.
Okay.
And she said that she would speak with Michelle or Roberts or someone.
Okay.
And nothing ever happened. So, anyway, I'd like to acknowledge that you are aware of what's going on. As the residents of Ocean Boulevard, we need to bring to your attention concerns regarding the untapped and overgrown lot owned by the borough along Ocean Boulevard. The lot is known as Bath Place. Contrary to most people, they don't have a clue that there is actually a street there, which is on your map. And it's located between 60 and 62 Ocean Boulevard. I have given you some photographs to sort of be distributed, take a look at. We support your efforts in everything that you try to do to maintain our town. We know it's not an easy task. Even my yard isn't an easy task. But in the current state, the lot poses a safety hazard. An electrical transformer and telephone power lines are located on and around the lot. Approximately 2 weeks ago, there was an outage down in that area. The proximity of the trees to the pole, the transformer, and the electric lines create a hazard. The power lines mingle with tangled tree limbs and vines. The unkempt foliage also creates a nesting place for mosquitoes, ticks, rodents, and animals. Many residents and non-residents alike enjoy the walking, the recreational aspects of Ocean Boulevard, the bicycling, the dog walking. You know, that's why I know a lot of people, dog walking. But, you know, the boulevard is such a beautiful stretch of road which winds along the bay. However, the particular lot stands in stark contrast to what is otherwise a beautiful boulevard. The lot is in an utter state of neglect and is wholly out of place along the otherwise scenic setting, which offers breathtaking views of Atlanta, of the bay, of New York. There are a number of trees, four or five, maybe six. Many of them are overgrown, unkempt, ivy all over them. It's hard to discern the exact number of trees that could have a problem. The weeds that are overgrown in that particular lot are weeds that are on the do not plant. Rutgers does not recommend them at all, and they just keep spreading into our yards. The lot is also, it's a historical significance in case someone doesn't know this. It used to be the Bayview train station. So actually my neighbor, Sue McCaffrey, who was a Brenner, Engelbert Brenner's daughter, she told me stories of going to the ticket station, catching the train, you know, just like the Hilton Station. But how many people actually know Bayview? I don't, and I've lived in town for 43, 44 years, so I had no idea. Matter of fact, one of the residents that did sign this, he lives right there on the path, and his part of his house was actually the ticket center. So I think that one of the things that would be good would be to also, once the lot is cleaned up, is to have some type of plaque so people actually know. I was in Princeton, and you walk around Princeton, and there's different plaques in different sections. I think this might be, you know, we're concerned about the historical values of our ancestors. So I think that would be a great thing. So what do we seek? You know, we're looking for you to take control of the property, possibly remove the trees that are bad, plant trees which are in the canopy section with the cherry, the dogwood, everything that we've been planting along the streetscape. So that is our, you know, doing so will only enhance the overall appearance of the neighborhood, but restore the view of the lower New York Bay, which is a cherished feature of Ocean Boulevard. It would be a benefit to all residents, enhance property values while creating a more welcoming environment. Also, they're going down the property. The property was cleared out between, many years ago, between 60, next to 60 Ocean Boulevard. And that property is currently just all grass. The two neighbors on either side, one lives on Highland Place and on 60, they've been sharing the responsibility of trimming the grass. So the water, closer to the water side, has been altered. The other part is where it's just all the debris. And I think the situation actually was exacerbated because 62, the five family, was sold to an investor many years ago. And the previous owner, last two investors ago, she used to take care of that section of the property even though it wasn't hers. So it just gotten worse and worse. Where the train, there are steps going down, and that's all like boarded up. There's a gate, I don't know, gates or that part of the property, vines and everything are growing, and there's actually some poisonous berries down there that one of the neighbors showed me with. Poisonous to dogs, humans, and everything else. So I think it needs to be addressed on both ends, on the Ocean Boulevard side and on the former steps side.
Thank you. So it was surreptitious that I happened to be walking on last Sunday past, and my husband and I were standing in front of the property that you're describing, and we were having a conversation about what we saw there. And then I turned the corner, and there you were. And so we had a conversation, so I knew you were coming. Mr. Farragina and Mr. Phillips have been to the property today, and they have another meeting to go there on Thursday. And so we're creating an action plan on behalf of the municipality to take action in that location.
I mean, I'd love to be a part of it.
So we'll be in touch, because I'm assuming your contact information, I know how to get a hold of you, so we will coordinate with you to involve you in further conversation.
Great. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming to council.
And our neighbors.
Thank you.
Anybody online with their hand up?
None at this time.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes, I didn't mean to interrupt, I'm sorry. Marion Smith, 29 Leonard Avenue. I know June, well, I guess every month, you have so many different things to honor for the month. The EMS, I think, was terrific tonight. It was nice seeing cadets and nice hearing that they're getting the donation. Is there any way that they're only being honored for a week? Is there any way that we can put a flag or anything outside to acknowledge the EMS people for that week that we're celebrating EMS week? It just doesn't seem that we're doing enough for them. If we're having...
I appreciate the suggestion.
So that would be one thing. And then the other thing I was going to ask you is, this is also National Safety Month. The whole month is National Safety Month, which is a time when it's been around since the 1960s, and it's when the town and businesses promote prevention of illness and prevention of death. I'm wondering if we're doing anything.
So all residents are welcome to suggest any recognition that you'd like. If you want to submit it through Mrs. Clark, and then the mayor and council can decide if we'll put it on the agenda.
Okay, my question was, I didn't get to finish my question, are we as a borough doing anything to honor a national the National Safety Month?
If you would like to suggest it, we can consider it.
By promoting anything for to prevent injuries or death?
I think I've answered your question.
No, my question was, are we doing anything as a borough?
Not currently, but if you would like to suggest it, we can consider it.
Okay, thank you kindly. And yes, the attorney is right. We do miss hearing her, but it was nice to hear her anyway. Thank you.
Anybody else online? Sir, in the fourth row, please come forward, state your name and address.
Well,
yes.
John Bollinger, 96 Ocean Boulevard, Benny. I've only been here since 1993. I'm just going to throw this one in.
Mr. Bollinger, you have to address us. Me,
I'm
technically.
Just going to throw this in just for the heck of it.
Thank you.
$400,000 in taxes paid to the town to this point. But there's an issue that I want to bring up. Thank God everybody to stop. Are we discussing the cannabis?
The 16th.
The 16th?
Yes.
Then why was it in the Two River Times? That it was
I don't get to their publishing schedule, but they made an error.
Well, while I'm here, just quickly.
I just want to clarify for you, Mr. Bollinger, though, it was stated when we did the resolution, or that when we did the introduction, that it had to next go to the planning board. So there is it Thursday? This coming Thursday, there is a planning board
here.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure you're aware of that. And then after the planning board, they will come back here, and then we will have a public meeting.
Okay, after all that, never mind.
Well, it's nice to see you.
All right, you guys, you can hear my presentation.
Anyone here? Sir, in the back with the American flag on your hat?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm Mark Fisher, on 3rd Avenue. I hadn't been down to Brant Point in a while because there hasn't been any oil in the water from there in over a year. But I noticed a few things. I took a walk along the water. It looks very nice. They did a great job with the sidewalk, the overlook on the water, the railing, everything looks good. When I came back out to the street, I noticed 9 hazmat drums sitting in the cul-de-sac. I don't know whether they're full, empty, none of them are marked, but there are 9 of them sitting in the roadway. So that's a little concerning, given that the...
In which part of the roadway? Because I'm there almost every day.
When you come down the street, or if you made a left turn and go around the cul-de-sac, they're over by the, Johnny on the Spot.
Okay.
So
I don't know that that road's open to traffic yet.
It's not.
So did you go on the road?
I walked on the road.
Okay.
Also, what I noticed when I faced east is the speed limit signs. Speed limit, 15 miles per hour. Now, other than the harbor and Route 36, every other road in this borough is 25 miles per hour. That's the ordinance. How did they hang 4 signs that say 15 miles per hour?
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not in the ordinance. I don't think the developer gets to choose what the speed limit is. That's a town thing. So, but they're there, just to let you know. And I also noticed that day that they were also doing the, I guess it's the biennial environmental testing of the monitoring wells. So I assume that report's going to be coming to the borough within 2 or 3 months, just to let you know. Next item, EV chargers. I read an article today in the Patch. Mr. Callahan wrote it. Customers of the Atlantic City, PSE&G, Jersey Central Power and Light, and Rockland Energy can expect a 17 to 20% increase in their monthly electrical bills. So, now that we use electrical power, are we going to have some sort of a schedule to update our pricing on the EV charge? I mean, 20% is a big increase that we should not be eating every time that they do.
No, certainly not. No, so we have been, I have access to all the usage data.
Yeah.
And so we will look at that data. I mean, they're still being adopted. So we had, I mean, I don't have the figures in front of me, but we, we had many more charging sessions in the month of June, or in the month of May, than we had in April. So, for example, so we can look at that, and I don't know that we've even received a JCP&L bill yet for usage.
Understood.
So we need to compare and contrast. And
but we do have a pricing schedule.
We do have a pricing, we have an introductory pricing schedule, which we can review.
So it should be about 20% higher in about a month. Because okay. This was effective June 1st, yesterday.
Okay.
So
we will take a look at that.
The August is going to be an eye-opener. You already answered the question about the cannabis review. Any update on regionalization, the three mayors?
None to us.
You had a meeting?
We've met twice, once here last month, once at Highlands Borough Hall. Nothing, no action,
okay.
Just that we're all still enjoying hanging out together at these meetings.
No
and
tacos?
No tacos. Although tacos have been in the news.
They sure have.
I asked last meeting a question about a longevity clause for the Class 2 officers when they get hired here.
There's been various people out, so we haven't had that conversation yet, but it's noted.
Still a good idea, I think. Now, the last thing is the state allowed and the borough budgeted $9,200 extra dollars for the LOSAP program, and I hope you consider giving our volunteers a nice raise in their awards for 2025.
That is our intention.
Because it can be retroactive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody online with their hand? Anyone here? Sure. Mr. Barbato?
Paul Barbados, 22, Lauren Road, AKA Little Loudy Road. I have just two quick items. One is, I would like for the record again to say that I, as a resident, am against any cannabis shops in our town. I gave the reason, neighboring towns that are having them, people who I know from the town, they have them delivered. They have their stuff delivered. So I don't know what the reason is. And I don't know how they're saying it's going to help out for the taxes. That money is never going to come back. It's going to go to Trenton, and it will never come back here. So that's my dead zone.
I invite you to look at other towns, other municipalities, because they have been receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue. Yes.
Well, we're saturating it. I mean, it's another...
Mr. Barbato, we all know your opinion on this. So
all right.
Item two would be great.
The other thing is, back to Lori Road, I just would like to ask, Mayor, has anybody from the governor's office contacted you recently?
No.
No. There was a situation where Congressman Colon's office contacted Mr. Ferragino. What did I do? And at this point, we did get a letter, and it was, sorry, we understand your situation, we really sympathize, but we can't help you because it's a municipal and a local matter. If it was a federal matter, oh, we would be there. So they passed the ball. Now they passed the ball to the assembly. So now I've contacted Vicki Flynn's office. I haven't heard back from her yet. I also contacted Trent in the governor's office. And they said, at this point in time, that there was some communication. So I'm going to ask who they communicated. Has anybody contacted the borough?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, I got a letter saying that, and I'm saying that they didn't get the correct information, but they said there's two water boxes. Okay, there's two water boxes where Lori Road, the spur, is where I am, and that should handle the water situation. Now, I question, I'm waiting for a callback, a water box. Can you ask the engineer what is the difference between a water box and a storm drain?
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh.
I would like you to ask.
I'm not doing that right now.
Oh, you can't do that right now?
No.
Okay, can you have, when you're available, and maybe Mr. Rohmeyer get a contact, because there's no water boxes that I've been there 25 years, I haven't seen a water box.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody online? Mr. Leinsdorf.
Thank you. Josh Leinsdorf, 60 Bayside Drive. First of all, I'd like to say that you did a beautiful job on Upper Prospect.
I did not do a beautiful job, but...
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Very, very attractive. It's just good job.
Thank you.
The second thing I want to say is, I don't know if you know, my father was an entertainer.
I don't think
people know that entertainers work when other people play. So it takes a certain kind of personality to have to play when other people are working, basically. But I saw at the Memorial Day Parade that the Department of Public Works actually should be considered entertainers. They work when the rest of us play. And I think it's important, if you're having trouble keeping people in the Department of Public Works, I think that's a big reason, because they're not paid that much, and they're really asked to do a lot. You know, it comes into their party time. And I think we should appreciate that. Anyway, I just wanted to say, aside from the fact that I was driving up Center Avenue and there were three people on bicycles next to me driving toward Middletown doing wheelies, riding against traffic, and I rolled down my window and I said, please try not to kill yourself, okay? I don't understand why everybody in New Jersey rides against traffic. How that got started, I think it's a local custom, but I think we should make more of an effort to educate the kids and other people that you're supposed to ride with traffic going on the sidewalk.
So the good news is the chief's department had a bike safety class this past Saturday, and they are working on that.
Oh, good. I know. I helped. You know, I was supportive of that. So just my last thing is, you talked about the left turn after the person on the left turns are also dangerous because of the post that you have, that as you turn, there can be a pedestrian who is blocked out by the post. So, as you know, I'm concerned about that. So, I saw that Minnesota has something called a hawk light that they have on municipal on rural highways for pedestrian crossings. They're like pedestrian crossing buttons. You push the button and there's a light over the road, a red light, to stop the traffic so that the person can cross the road. So I gave them a call and I said, how much would it cost to put, the pedestrians know when the cars are going to come or how long they have until cars come. The cars have no idea there are pedestrians. I said, how much would it cost to put a light up next to the signal, a P or pedestrian or something, activated by the pedestrian crossing signal that you already have? They said $6,000 to $7,000.
And that's in Minnesota.
Well, I don't think so. I think you've already got the infrastructure. So that's all. I just think we should consider that pedestrian. There were like 8,000 pedestrian deaths in 1980, and they dropped to like 4,500 in 2009. But they're back up into the mid to high 7,000s, whereas automobile fatalities are down 20% in absolute numbers, and as relative to how much driving and how many cars there are, you'd probably say it's like half. So they're going in different directions, and we know why. So we know it's a problem. So I think we should be proactive to try to do something to get a handle on the pedestrian fatalities.
Thank you. Anybody else? Doug?
No hands.
Oh, come on up. Down, up, I don't know. This way.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Good evening, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Maskelenko. My husband and I recently moved
Address,
to
please.
10 Navisink Avenue about 6 months ago. And my question to the Council is there a possibility that homeowners could start having pet chickens? I know this has come up in the past. I've read some records that are like 2016 and earlier too, and you know, limiting pets to say, you know, cats and dogs and you know, but no fowl. Recently, I've started to try to garden in the backyard as well, or get rid of a lot of invasive species, and I've noticed that there's a lot of ticks in the backyard too, and I've spoken to some neighbors and others, and there's a lot of ticks in town that I've heard that chickens can help control the tick population as well. So I'm wondering what would be the process for going about this? Is there a specific commission that I should talk to? Should I put together anything additional of asking if we could have chickens in town? Specifically hens, female, no roosters. I'm not asking roosters.
So I can take it to the council and see if anybody's interested in pursuing, and we could get in touch and if you want to be part of that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. All right. All right, I don't see anything else. There's no executive session. We have a motion to adjourn.
Doherty moves.
Second?
Crowley second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, everybody. Oh,